Hallelujah. Well, please take your seats. And again, a very warm welcome if you've arrived since the start of the service. And particularly if this is your first time or if you're not usually here with us on a Sunday evening, it's so good to see you. And thank you just to Katie and Tim and Emma just for leading us so beautifully into the Lord's presence. And last time I did this, I snapped the pulpit. Is it going to happen again? Might do. I'm just going to leave it there. I'd love first just turn in the scriptures, and if you don't have a Bible, it's worth probably just raising your hand, as I find I remember it so much better when I see it and not just hear it. So raise your hand if you don't have a Bible. I'm just going to take us briefly, as we kind of prepare to come to communion, to a passage that has spoken to me quite a bit over the years. Keep your hand raised. Bibles are coming. And it's a passage in Luke. If you've got that Bible yet, or if you've already got one, you can turn to Luke 11. And Luke 11... it's the passage where that question that I said in my prayer kicks off the chapter. The disciples say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And then Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, whatever you want to call it. We often refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, but it's one that he teaches us to pray. And then he tells a story. I love Jesus' stories. And because one of the things that I'm really burdened for, and we're burdened for as leaders, for us to grow in as a church, we were doing this as we kind of went through Lent, but it doesn't stop in Lent, is in that run-up to Easter, we're trying to grow in prayer, but we need to keep growing, folks. Because actually, in this summertime, there's so many opportunities for mission. For us to be those that are going out with this good news. And we're going to have over this next few months, we're going to have not just sort of World Week thinking about mission to the world and hope at the end of July, and our mission to Wales and bringing hope to Brighton and Hove and hope to Wales. But, you know, also as a church, there's so much that we do, which is day after day, week after week, about mission. But without God's help, we can't do it. So I long for us to grow in both prayer and mission in this coming season. And I was just struck at how in both of those things we need the Holy Spirit. He helps us in our praying. He emboldens us in our witness. And this is a wonderful passage that someone opened up to me once to just help us see something of how we can grow in prayer and grow in more of the Holy Spirit. And that's my longing for us as a church as we come to this communion table, that God would just open our eyes to see more of how we can grow in Christ. So Luke chapter 11, I'm going to read the story, and then I just want to highlight a few things out of it. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed and I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Say it with me. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" Any fathers here? Ever done that? Nah, you wouldn't, would you? "Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Guarantee you've never done that. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The first thing I want us to see about growing in prayer and growing in the things of the Spirit is where Jesus starts this story, and that is that it's about emptiness. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him." There's nothing on the shelves. It's empty. And folks, at the heart of prayer is an expression of our helplessness, that without God we can do nothing. The heart of what it is to live a spirit-filled life is to be emptied of self, to realize that we are nothing without him. We can't do it in our own strength. Church, we can't do it in our own strength. It's about emptiness. But you know, there's nothing like having someone else that we're trying to help us realize our emptiness. Because sometimes we can kind of think, well, the cupboards are empty, but you know, I don't need anything at the moment, so I'm okay. But when we look at our neighbor or our friend or the world or Brighton and Hove's problems and we think we got to help them, then we go, God, I can't do this. So not just is it about emptiness, but it's about others. It's about us recognizing that as we pray, as we go, as we look to serve one another or those around us in need, that we realize even more our emptiness. And that actually God's gifts are not just given for us to kind of feel satisfied and full. They're given to us to help others. Look what Jesus says. He says this story, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to offer him. You see, God hears us as we cry out on behalf of others. And he gives us his spirit, not just so that we'll go, wow, God, you're amazing. And he is, and he does fill us with his spirit so we can cry out, Abba. But he also fills us for the sake of others. That's my longing, is that us as a church to know more of his filling for the sake of others. Particularly, as I said at the start, in this season of mission that I long for us to be making the most of. And so I pray, God, grow us in our prayer, not just for our sake, but for the sake of others. Fill us with your spirit, not just for our sake, but for the sake of others. It's about emptiness. It's about others and having a heart of love and a passion. We'll be hearing more about how we want to keep growing in that as a church later on. But you know, too, it's about, and I'm just going to have a look at my notes so I know what, go on, Ben, help me here. It's about boldness. It's about boldness. And I love this little phrase here. I tell you, even though in verse 8 that he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your, say this with me because it's just brilliant in this translation, because of his shameless audacity. Are you known for your shameless audacity? I want us to be known as a church for our shameless audacity in prayer. That we ask God for stuff with boldness and confidence because he's God. And he's got what we need. He's got it. Not just what we need, but what Brighton needs. And what your neighbor needs. And your work colleague. And that person in the church who's struggling. And what Brighton and Hove and Wales and, you know, the rest of the world needs. He's got it. So let's ask him. And Jesus kind of arrives this point home. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. What are you asking God for at the moment? If we're going to grow in prayer, we've got to grow in our asking, our recognizing our emptiness, our realizing and growing our heart of love for others. But our boldness too needs to grow. Our shameless audacity. Go on. Tonight, ask God for something big. Asking for something worthy of his name. It's about boldness and asking. So I say to you, knock. Kind of, did you ever go to someone's door and say, oh, I don't know if they're in, doesn't look like anyone's in. I wonder, shall I knock? You ever done that? You kind of look at it and think, oh. And you kind of, have you ever done that kind of thing of like knocking? Like, and you think, well, no one would hear that even if they were standing right next to the door. But the shameless audacity has got something of the, hasn't it? And it's the middle of the night in the story. You know, it would have been to wake him. It would have been kind of like, boom, boom, boom. And he kept doing it. Keep on asking. But it's about too knowing that we're children. See, we're not coming to a neighbor who's not really concerned. We're coming to a father. We're coming to God. God's your father. Whether you know him or you've wandered far from him, he's your father. He longs for you to come back to him. It's about being children and remembering we're children. Guys, we're all here. We're grown-ups. Let's learn from the kids. Will you take some time this week to look and notice a child somewhere and learn what it is to be a child? To look and see how they boldly ask. To look and see how they have that kind of confidence in their parents to kind of assume that they're just going to drive them or carry them or look after them. Take time to learn from children because it's about being children. And lastly, just as we come to the communion table, it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's the Holy Spirit. It's about holiness. We had this word just last week that we just need to keep making sure that we're clean vessels. It's nothing that helps us grow in prayer and helps us grow in our boldness and our effectiveness and being able to be more full of God's Spirit than just being clean, holy. There's nothing that gets in the way of that like our sin. And yet sin just wells up from within, doesn't it? And then all the different temptations without. We live in a fallen world amongst fallen people, in a church which is not perfect, amongst brothers and sisters in Christ who are not perfect, let alone colleagues and all that stuff. And so we need to keep coming back to this table, to this Savior, to this one who died that we might be able to be holy, that you and I might be able to be so clean, our inner heart so clean, that God Almighty by his Spirit would take up residence in it. Bet you've cleaned up your house for a visitor at some point in your life. Haven't you done that? Even if it's just your friend who's coming around, you've come and said, oh, we better get this sort of cleaner, you know. Hey guys, it's God who wants to come and fill our hearts. Let's make sure we're living those holy lives, but let's make sure that we come and allow him to do the cleansing work rather than feel we've just got to be those Marthas who run around trying to make it all sorted. Come to the table, come and receive. Let him wash your feet tonight. Let him wash your heart. For you remember as we come to this table that the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, given for you. Given for you. This is my blood shed for you, that you and I might be holy and be able to approach his throne of grace with confidence, to be able to receive his Spirit. Come again. Let's remind each other, as Jesus intended this meal to be, that Christ has died, that Christ has risen, and that Christ will come again. Can you say that with me? Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And so we come and see ultimately that it's all about him. And that he wants to do in us and through us far more than we could ever imagine. So come receive tonight. Come and have faith arise. Come, and whatever your week's been like, I urge you, take, eat in faith with thankfulness in your heart to God. It's for you. It's for you that we might grow and our soul might be nourished. So I'm just going to give us some time to pause, to be still. These communion times are just monthly times where we have space to just be still. Be still. Admit your emptiness. Ask for love for your neighbor, love for the world, love for our city. Be bold. Approach with boldness. Remember you're a child. And ask for his cleansing that we might be holy again. Let's just be still. Lord, we need you. We're knocking on your door tonight, Lord. Help us, cleanse us. Lord, not just for our sake, for the sake of this city and the nations, Lord, the people that you've called us to reach and join you in serving. And Jesus, we want to say thank you that you died and rose again and you're coming back. Thank you for your broken body and your shed blood. Thank you for your promise that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we take hold of you by faith. With thankfulness in our hearts as we think upon your sacrifice and your amazing love for us. May your love pour in, that your love would pour out of our lives. So come, Holy Spirit, fill me, fill us, fill your church. We ask, Father, Abba, we ask for more of your Spirit. And we ask in the name of Jesus the Savior. Amen. Just going to ask the band to lead us in a song just that speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus as we share in this communion meal together. As you receive the bread, break a piece off and eat it as you receive it. And then we're going to be served with a cup and we'll hold on to that. So let's sing. You can stay in your seats. You can kneel just as the Lord leads.